Welcome, my friends, to Scry Me River, the MTG Advice Podcast. I'm Riley.
I'm Dennis.
And we're here to solve your problems, Dennis, in an altogether PG fashion this week.
Yeah, we've come back down from the... come back up, I guess, from the basement maybe is more accurate.
From the gutter. Yeah, exactly. And this week it's going to be good family-friendly fun. Dennis? It's going to be... I like how family-friendly just means for kids. You know?
Yes.
Like, it's not fun for all the family. Mum and dad aren't going
to... The kids never get to watch Die Hard.
No. Like, it's not fun. It's fun for half the family. It's not fun for the whole family.
I definitely agree with that, yeah.
But this show definitely is fun for the whole family, as long as all of your family are magic playing nerds. Everyone's going to have a great time today. Dennis, got a bit of everything today. We've got some Am I the Asshole questions. We've got some magic advice questions. We've got some stuff to talk about that has nothing to do with magic as well. That's a very small part of the show, however. That's not going to be too much, which is odd for us. But a lot to get to. But first, we've got to pay the piper, Dennis.
Let's continue our theme of not too much magic, Riley.
Yes.
You know what's coming out? Or has just come out?
Well, is this the new Pokemon set?
Yeah, Shining Fates, baby.
Shining Fates, baby. Sorry, I didn't realize the full...
Shining Fates, parentheses, baby.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of confusion on the Channel Fireball back end.
Yeah.
Because Shining Fates comes in an Elite Trainer box, which is basically like a bundle. It's got 10 booshes in it.
Mm-hmm.
Which on the back end and everything is called an ETB. And there's been a lot of confusion about reading that as an Enters the Battlefield effect.
The Enter the Battlefield, like, booster box.
I slacked Gabby about it and she's like, what?
Yeah.
And I was like, we got 10 ETBs. And she was like, what are you talking about?
Do you have a Panharmonicon? What are you talking about? Why
exactly.
Are there 10?
Yeah. I was like, Elite Trainer Box. She's like, oh, okay, cool.
Very good. And you can get these Elite Trainer Boxes today at channelfireball.com.
Yeah, you can get... Got to catch all those pocket monsters, Riley. There's shinies in them.
It does.
Shiny Pokemon?
Dennis, they make it very clear. It doesn't say you got to catch some of them. Do you reckon?
The goal is in the name, right? Like Magic the Gathering, loose. How many am I supposed to gather?
They don't specify. Mm-hmm. How much gathering are you doing in Magic? It doesn't say. Pokemon, they made it very clear. That first meeting with Game Freak and Nintendo, they're like, now listen, we need to talk about the tagline. We love the concept. What are we selling it with? All right, how about try to get as many of these as you can. Can we do any better?
Yeah, do your best to pick these up.
Can we do any better? Let's drill down on this a little bit. Make every effort to complete your collection.
Try pretty hard, maybe not too hard.
I feel like we could do... what if we told them they had to... What if we said they've got to catch them all?
Leave none free? Sorry, what was leave that? Catch them all.
Okay. Take
no quarter.
Give no quarter.
Well, Pokemon. No, it's give only quarter. It's give all quarter, isn't it?
It's only give quarter. Well, actually, yeah. No. Would you like... I just said, well, actually, not ironically there, Dennis. Mm. Do you know where quartering came from?
Like giving quarter. It was a YouTuber who used to mostly talk about magic.
Yeah.
But now is just kind of like a general sort of alt-right.
Went from being, you know, Magic's own shitheel to just generally being, you know, the shitheel for all seasons.
I thought it was a sailing thing where to give no quarter meant to take no prisoners.
It does mean to take no prisoners. No, but it comes from sieging. It comes from giving. It comes from besieging people, besieging cities. So you would give quarter if they surrendered, and you would allow them to leave the town unharmed. You would give that. That was giving quarter. So giving no quarter meant nope. Everyone's going to die. You don't.
Everyone's going to die.
No prisoners. Anyway,
Riley, there is a spicy card in this Shining Fates set.
Okay.
It is a shiny Charizard VMAX.
Ooh.
Which means this Charizard is not orange, which I just realized now you might not know the actual normal Charizard is anyway.
Probably not going to be. Wait, Charizard's orange?
Yeah.
I did know that. I thought it was red, but yeah, sure. Orange, red.
Yeah,
the
it's already orange. Yeah. This one's black.
Might not have noticed. I probably would have noticed. If it were brown, maybe I wouldn't have noticed.
But it's also like $600.
That I'd probably notice.
That you'd notice.
that I'd sit up and take notice of. That's pretty sweet. That's a lot.
So if you want to take a spin on the Charizard VMAX lottery, channelfireball.com.
Channelfireball.com, exactly right. And of course, a brief mention from our other sponsor, Maddie and Howell Drystone Walling. Some of the best stone walls you'll ever see in Yorkshire and the surrounding areas. Do be sure to get in touch for them. Tea and snacks, always appreciated for Maddie and Howell. Maddie and Howell Drystone Walling, because they're Maddie and Howell and they build dry stone walls.
Gotta build those walls.
Gotta build those walls. Maddie in hell. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
I want to be the best there ever was to build those walls.
This is my real test. No, it's gotta be like it's gotta be something is my real test. To build them is my cause, yeah. Surely.
Yeah, to stack those stones is my real test. To build them to is build my them cause. Is that's my... a different song though. I was doing the poker up version, but yeah, that's yeah.
I will travel across the land.
Well, not the land. I will travel across localized across area of
the
Yorkshire.
Greater Yorkshire area.
Yeah. Searching.
Building tall, not that wide.
Building tall rather than wide. Each stone wall to understand the strength that lies inside. Very good.
Dry stone walls.
Dry stone walls. They're getting a lot of mileage out of this sponsorship.
Yeah. I mean, are they? How big is our viewership in the Yorkshire area? The map on Buzzsprout doesn't zoom in that far.
Yeah, that's true. We don't know. Yeah, well, if you're in the greater Yorkshire area and need stone, if you need stone put into more organized piles, Maddie and Hal's dry stone walling, just go to the church, yell their names, you'll know what to do. All right.
Stone them all.
Got a lot of stuff to get through today, Dennis. But right now, I'm introducing a brand new segment called Dennis, Raw and Unfiltered, because there are
Are you sure this wasn't for last week?
I'm gonna say a couple of things to Dennis that I have not forewarned him about.
Call him hot takes, top off the dome.
And I just want to get his reaction on his takes on these hot button issues.
They're not even in the document.
Not in the doc. Dennis Strixhaven. Mm-hmm. School of Majors. You will have seen that there are a couple of we've had a couple of new things. You know, there's been the school houses and the charms or the commands that have come out as a result of them, that sort of stuff. But two changes to rules jargon and rules text. Dennis, converted mana cost is no more. Have you seen this?
Uh-huh,
converted mana cost now mana value, and you no longer shuffle your library. Now you just shuffle.
We're losing 66% of the words in Shuffle Your Library.
What are your thoughts on these changes, Dennis?
Those both make perfect sense to me.
Dennis, you clearly don't have your finger on the pulse. You clearly are out of touch with the common Magic player, because you'll be surprised to learn, Dennis, that people hate these changes.
Wait, Magic players were annoyed about
Magic players annoyed change. About change? Surely not. No, look, a lot of sensible people have been like, this is fine. It's obviously good. Like, it doesn't do anything bad at all. Obviously, it's just a positive.
Well, apparently, based on the way you're talking, it seems like some people would disagree with that.
Do you know what one of the arguments against shuffle... Like, so it's now like, search your library for a card, put the card in your hand, then shuffle, right?
I mean, that makes perfect sense to me. Mana value, you could argue, is confusing. I think it's just wrong to argue that, but I can see a stance there. Shuffle your library is pure value.
So do you know what one of the... It seemed like actual... responses to that was maybe this person was joking, in which case good on you because you got me, but I don't think they were. They said, shuffle what, my hand, my graveyard? There goes Legacy graveyard order cards.
What?
Sure.
What?
Yeah, because it was on like Demonic Tutor. I think the card was Demonic Tutor. So it's put the card in your hand, then shuffle. Am I supposed to shuffle my hand? Like, great. A well-reasoned response. Again, maybe this person was joking, but the thing is, this is the problem with some satire. It's impossible to tell the difference between actual satire and reality when people are saying this sort of thing. So,
Riley, are you aware of a dance called the shuffle?
Right, yes. So you search a card for a library, put that card in your hand, put your unshuffled library back on the table, and then get up and do a bit of a dance.
Now, do you know what that dance is officially called?
The Melbourne Shuffle, right?
The Melbourne Shuffle, yeah. You're from your neighbouring town.
My friend Callan Gear from high school was very, very good at that dance. He tried to teach me, but I couldn't do it. But he was very, very good at it. He had like slidey shoes. He could do it. I don't know how he did it.
So the next time you're at a GP, you're going to be like, all right, going to, you know, crack my whatever. Name a fetch land. Dealer's choice.
No, you name a fetch land, Dennis, because you are clearly not... You're in a position... I know you very well. You can't remember the names of any fetch lands. Go.
Windswept Heath, Wooded Foothills.
He's looked him up. Go on.
I have not. No, he didn't. But I don't know. I can remember like white ones for some reason. Or green ones even. Sorry.
Go on.
You go get your forest or whatever, your I don't know, your breeding pool.
Yep.
Put in play. You go, sorry, stand up.
Yeah,
do a little bit of a boogie.
Yep.
Sit down. You're not going to shuffle your library? Sorry, shuffle my what? Okay, boomer.
It doesn't say to shuffle the library anywhere, does it? Sorry.
I mean, it probably definitely does in the Windswept. It's still, to be fair.
Yeah, it's not as if like they can retcon the cards on Arena, but like it's not as though, you know, the Magic the Gathering rules coordinator is going to come to your house and like Sharpie over all of your Windswept heats. No, that's not going to happen.
Also, I know it's kind of like that meme, like, you know, won't somebody please think of the children? Mm. They're like, won't somebody please think of the legacy legal cards that care about the order of your graveyard? No, I don't care.
But no one is taking the then shuffle to mean shuffle your graveyard.
But they could.
Yes, Stannis, they could.
But they could.
They could. All the arguments against mana value as well. Oh, it's confusing. It doesn't make sense. What? And converted mana cost does?
Yeah,
I don't know, man. People think CMC sounds better than an MV. I guarantee you, like when Magic Fest was first announced as the name for the Grand Prix, I thought it was the dumbest thing in the world. Now it just sounds normal. It's not going to take mm-hmm. long for mana value to just sound normal. We're gonna get used to it very quickly. Can I tell you that, Dennis?
I agree.
Anyway, Dennis, the second thing that I want to talk to you about, Frazier's coming back, dude.
Whoa! What?
No, this is true. It's
so
true.
Are you Googling this?
Did you not know this? I assume that you'd be all over this.
Kelsey Grammer to return as what?
Frasier's coming back, man. I this was a long, like, I was like, oh, I'm gonna try this thing, I'm gonna spring it on Dennis. He'll definitely have heard it, so it won't be as fun.
I had not heard.
Let's go, Dennis. Give me that reaction. I want to hear exactly what you think.
It's been so long.
Yeah, man.
The show ended like 17 years.
17 years, man. 17 years. Yep. Finished in 2004. Dennis, stop reading the news article and start telling people how you feel about
Sorry,
this.
Sorry, I don't understand. I think it'll be bad.
Oh, no. Oh.
Yeah.
He's not into it. I thought you'd be excited.
I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah.
I mean, have you told Marshall?
I haven't told Marshall. It'd be great to get
Marshall's a huge Frasier fan.
Well, I've got some bad news for Marshall because he's also a huge Seattle fan. Not happening in Seattle.
What? Why?
It's not in Seattle.
Where is it now?
No, doesn't, what, it doesn't why? Say. It says that it's going to be... it's not going to be set in Seattle. It's not going to be the same Frasier. It's going to be the man in his next iteration. Hopefully that'll be something people like watching, but I think it'll be funny. That's what Grammer had to say about it.
What do you mean it's going to be not the same Frasier? What the hell? That's stupid. Now I'm mad.
Oh, dear. We went from excitement to disbelief to now anger. Imagine that. A Magic player hating change.
Hang on. I don't know who plays Magic. I can't find this article. I'm Googling the phrase, not the same Frasier, and I'm sure I'm going to find some. Here we go. Polygon. Wow, okay. Not the same. We'll see if people respond to it, because it's not going to be in the same place. It's not going to be in Seattle. It's not going to be the same Frasier. It's going to be the man in the situation. Hopefully some people like watching. It's still a search for love. I think that'll go always going with Frasier, but it'll also be a better connection with his son. Boo Earns. Boo Earns, Riley.
All right. Well, as someone who is not a who did I get in the Frasier quiz again? Did I get Giles or Niles?
Niles. You got Niles.
Niles. There you go. That's good.
Classic Niles.
Classic Niles. I have no horse in this race. I'm so uninvested in it, but I knew it would mean something to you. This is not what it I anticipated.
Does. No, Riley, I can tell you, I was happy, but now I have heard the blues a-calling and I am sad.
Oh, no, Dennis, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for ruining the energy in this dumb podcast with my Frasier news.
I'm mad.
Anyway,
we'll move on.
Frasier Watch 2021 continues, and we'll have to get those. I don't know when it doesn't say when it's.
We should watch the reboot on Discord when it comes out.
It'd be interesting to get Dennis's take on it when it actually does drop. Because so are you like how much out of 10? Are you from like 1 to Marshall? How big a fan of you, Frasier?
Oh, like I mean that's a confusing scale, but like 6.
Okay, 6 out of Marshall. Yeah. All right.
6 out of Marshall, yeah.
I'm really... Well, I think we need to get the Marshall hot take. I think we need...
Just tweet him. Tweet at him right now.
Yeah, we'll...
Do you have his phone number?
It'll be good to see exactly what he thinks of it.
Do you have Marshall's phone number?
I don't have Marshall's phone number, no.
I think I do. We can just call him. It's, what, 4:30 in the morning?
Okay. Even if it were, like, 11 o'clock... do you know Marshall, like, doesn't get up in the morning?
Yeah, he won't be up until like noon.
He loves a sleep in. Whenever we did coverage and he had to be up at like 7 for a call time, forget it, man. He's. I mean, I'm like that too most of the time. But,
is there one where he's still up from last night? That's more likely.
I would say it's more likely that he has not gone to bed. Exactly. Anyway, let's get the questions, Dennis. I'm sorry to have harshed your vibe a little bit there with the Frasier news. I thought it would be uplifting, but look, that's the risk of Dennis Raw and Unfiltered, you know?
Now we know.
That's what you get. Anyway, if you've got topics you want me to bring up for Dennis Raw and Unfiltered next week, make sure you send them just to me. It will defeat the purpose if you send them to Dennis or put them in the Discord. Just DM to me on Twitter, twitter.com/rulugunugud. Anyway, got a question here from Jeff, your friend of mine.
Oh, yes.
Jeff of Prime Speaker Zagana fame, who asks, I have an actual genuine MTG question for Smart. I have a couple of paper MTG decks, mostly modern. I've not played with any of them in close to 18 months now. You wouldn't be alone there. And I'm just wondering if I'm better off selling them than keeping them for basically just nostalgia. Any and all advice is welcome.
Ditch them, mate. They're weighing you down. Channel5.com/ubox we buy.
All right, next question. No, this is something that I grappled with.
Well, you mentioned even before this call, you were like, what am I going to do? Because you have a bunch of like booster packs.
I got a bunch of booster packs I want to get rid of, and I think I'm just going to crack them and send them into CFP. But I had two modern decks. I had a standard deck that was rotating out. So that was a no-brainer. I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to sell this. I don't care. And then I picked up the modern deck that I'd had for years. And I was like, do I want this? When was the last time that I played this deck? I don't see a time that I'm going to play this deck anytime soon. I like these Snapcaster Mages a lot, but...
It's a sad thing. You never know. Like, you know when you're like a kid and like your parents will pick you up? One time your parents will pick you up for the last time and they won't know.
When you say pick up, you don't mean pick you up from school. You mean actually like...
I mean lift you. Yes, I
like
lift you.
Your parents lifted you up from the ground, held you, right, like a child, put you down for the last time.
And they didn't know. Yep. And you shuffled that library, not that hand, not that Melbourne. Yeah. You shuffled it for the last time. You didn't even know.
You didn't even know it was the last time. I was up at Megan's place at one point. She lives, her parents live out in the country, and she's got quite a, you know, like big yard outside of this, outside of the house, right? And we were walking around, and she was telling me how she used to set up, like, she used to get branches and trees and stuff and set up, like, jumps and then pretend she was a horse and run across, you know, do little dressage tournaments for herself in the backyard of her parents' house. And I was like, yeah, that's funny. One day you did that for the last time. And she just like, it was just like a knife in the guts, man. She was like, one day you put away those like little jumps that you'd made for yourself and you never got them back out.
How did you take that?
Because I had that thought I got a ton of Lego back at my parents' place. And one time I built, I don't know, a spaceship or something, or I built a little house with Lego. And then I you know, took it down, put the Lego back in the box and put it back in the shelf, put it back in the cupboard and never got it out again. And I didn't know when I did that was going to be the last time I did it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So... It's tough. Like, if you want to, we can have a joke and a laugh about this, but like, Magic decks are kind of weirdly something that we form emotional connections with, and getting rid of them, taking them apart.
Not me, man. I play Limited.
There you go, and that's why that's why Limited is superior format, because there's no.
It's the speed dating equivalent of the relationships that Magic decks are.
It's all head and no heart. It's the hit it and quit it of the.
Like you're like, oh, I've had so many memories of this deck. And I'm like, I don't even remember this deck's name, man.
I went.
There was a rare in here.
I went 2-1, and now the deck is in the bin. Exactly.
Yeah.
I think you got to get rid of it though.
I think so too.
I think you've got to get rid of this. And Jeff, here's the other reason, mate. If this is something you've been sitting on for 18 months, it's not going to be good anymore. Modern's seriously, Modern's changed so much in 18 months, right? Like, there's no.
Is that true? What are the top decks of Modern right now?
So Uro has just been banned in Modern, which means that at the moment people are playing hyper aggressive linear decks. The best deck in Modern, arguably at the moment, is it Blitz, right? Which is a deck that plays like, you know, Frostburn Weird or whatever it is. So like Soulscar Mage and Monastery Swift Spear and like the Storming Entity, that sort of stuff, right? It is.
Well, right, I'm gonna go take a look at the power rankings, right? Now.
Sure, on CFP Pro. The other decks that are big, like Burns. I mean, if the decks burn, it's still good. But apart from that, like Modern's unrecognizable. Even Jund isn't good enough anymore, man.
Well, Jund was such a man. I think Jund's been gone for a long time. Like that was always a thing in my head, but like as like a prototypical Modern deck, but in my head, so is like Splinter Twin, and that's been an awfully long time.
But even if Jund were good, it would look nothing like it used to. You know, Dark Confident is not remotely played at the moment. Mm-hmm. You know, it's now about like Renin 6. That's your value engine, that sort of thing. So
God, I forgot about Renin 6. So, Modern Horizons really did shake everything up, eh?
So you got to get rid of this deck, Jeff. You got to get rid of it because it is weighing you down. It's holding you back, right? And if you
Modern, right, are you ready for this? The CFP Pro Modern Power Rankings.
Go on, yep, hit me.
Heliod Ballista.
Okay. Yep.
Red Prowess. Hammer Time.
Yeah.
Valakut. Death and Taxes. Ponza. Jund.
Yep. I bet that's Jund Death Shadow.
It is not. It is Reed Dukejohn. Now, there's some...
A little bit of bias coming in there.
There's a little bit of thumb on the scale.
Reed's like, oh, just pop it in right at the bottom there. Pop it in right.
There's a deep dive. And look, if you ever want a masterclass in Magic the Gathering strategy, the Reed's deep dive from August last year on Modern Jund, hell of a read.
We're trying to get Jeff to get rid of his cards, not keep him, Dennis. And... No,
Riley, I think you're mistaken. I'm trying to get Jeff to get rid of his cards to buy different ones.
Ah, yes. Now, Jeff, what you need to do is get rid of these cards and immediately buy the list from...
Shining Fates.
Get that VMAX Charizard. You got to get rid of them. Like, keeping decks for basically nostalgia... I'll tell you what you do. Well, I mean, here's what I did. I took apart that the Jeskai Control list. Jeskai Control. I'm really dating the deck by saying it's Jeskai Control. It was a good deck at one point. I put apart. I kept the Snapcasters. Didn't sell them. Which is really stupid of me because now they're half the price they were when I sold the entire deck. But if you've got, like, if you want to take apart the deck and sell it, if you're wanting to keep the deck for nostalgia, right? Keep a couple of cards. Keep, like, a few cards off of it, yeah. Right? To remember it by or to fuel the nostalgia. But apart from that, you got to let go.
Keep the boyfriend sweater. You don't keep texting the boyfriend.
I don't want to talk about that, Dennis. I don't want to talk about that.
No, what? Is that a real thing?
I've told the story of the grey jumper.
No.
Have I not told the story of the grey jumper?
Oh, maybe you have. Anyway, let's hear it again.
I've told the story of the grey jumper before. I definitely have. So,
did a girl steal a jumper?
My last girlfriend before Megan, she... I very... Like, I like my clothes, and I don't like the whole, like...
Which is surprising if you've ever seen Riley's clothes, actually.
I dress
weird.
Pretty well, thank you very much. Not in the middle of a global pandemic, perhaps, but usually I dress reasonably well. Anyway, I was always like, no, you can't wear my hoodie. Megan's great with this. She doesn't steal my clothes. But my previous girlfriend, she'd nick stuff all the time. I'm like, you got to stop doing this. One time, I went away on holiday, and she sent me, like, a selfie being like, hey, have a good time, when I was at the airport, of her in her house wearing one of my jumpers that she had nicked to wear while I was away, right? Hilarious. Really annoyed me. And she never gave it back. And then we broke up. And I gave her all her stuff back. And she still got my grey jumper. And it was a really nice
jumper.
So,
Riley, what you're telling me is you put on that jumper for the last time.
Oh, no.
And you didn't even know.
No. Oh, there was one time that I took that jumper off and discarded it into the washing basket. And it was the last time. And I didn't even know
she
it.
She scuttled in the window like a raccoon. Stole it away into the night. It's gone forever.
Oh, man. Oh, I still miss that jumper so much. I miss that jumper so much, man.
I wish there was a way to know you were in the good jumpers before you left them. You know?
I wish they told you that yeah, exactly. I wish they told you that this was the time to cherish with the good jumpers. I've never been able to replace as well. It was just a Uniqlo jumper. Like, I conceivably could find it again. I can't find it anywhere. Anyway, that's it.
Uniqlo jumper.
Uniqlo jumper. There will be a lot of results for that, Dennis, I think. Anyway.
Yeah, mostly women's cardigans, actually.
No, this one was really nice. It was grey. Oh, beautiful. Anyway, got an Am I the Asshole question, Dennis, that comes in to us here from, confusingly, Shark Tales.
Not going to get me with that one. Doesn't count.
Doesn't count because it's a person's name? Mm-hmm. It would be disrespectful to put Woohoo on the end of their name because their name is Shark Tales. Shark Tales writes in and says... Am I the magic asshole? Right now in MTGA, there is a glitch that allows you to play Frostpyre Arcanist for one mana less if either player has a Giant or Wizard in play, not just you. So this is the 2/5 that has a reduction if you have a Giant or Wizard, but apparently there's a bug that lets you play it for cheaper if your opponent has one as well. I utilize this to play Frostpyre Arcanist and have sufficient mana left over to cast the spell that I drew off of it. Am I the asshole for exploiting this glitch for measly gems? For context, I was 6-1 in a Premier draft at the time. Yes, you are.
You're not an asshole. You're a cheater.
Yeah, you shouldn't do this. If the computer will let you do it, right? I guess there is some weight to the argument that, like, it is on WotC.
Wizards, yeah.
It is on WotC to fix this sort of thing.
It's in the terms of service that you say you won't knowingly exploit things for winning.
So there you go. So if I were in this situation, I would have not played that card or would have waited a turn. Or honestly, I would have tapped a land, right? And wasted the mana.
Are you, like, as Voxy says, are you peering in the eyes of the Lord here, Shark Tales?
No, I don't think so. It's tough, man. The temptation. 6-1. You're nearly there. You nearly got that 7 win in the draft. It's tough, man. But this is when it's, you know, it's easy to do good when nothing's on the line.
I have two Wizards of the Coast online digital Magic the Gathering product anecdotes to tell.
Okay, go.
The first, I played in the Sealed Open, Riley.
Oh, you did? In the Arena Open. How'd you go? You get that 2K?
Wait for it. No, I think you would have heard about that if I got the 2K. I was playing day one, and I went 0-2, and I was like, ah, okay, got to sweat on the heater.
Yep.
Got to get all the way to 7 now, right? I got to 6-2.
Ooh.
And then the game crashed during my final game, and I missed 4 of my turns and lost.
Yeah, so you didn't even get a chance to contest it, really. No, yeah, that sucks.
Nope. I was ahead in the game, too.
Yeah.
My opponent mulliganed to 5.
Yep.
And Wizards refunded me my entry to the tournament in gold.
I bought
in gems, but they gave me gold. But, like, whatever.
Okay, yeah.
Whatever. Because that sucked. No, there's no real fun twist that act out. It just sucked.
Yep.
But it's penance, Riley. Because back in the Wild West days of Magic the Gathering Online, mm-hmm. this might have even been before they made the quote-unquote beta mandatory.
Yep.
And it looked like, you know, green felt poker tables. This was back in M15.
I remember this. Yeah. It looked like Excel. It looked like an Excel spreadsheet. Yep.
I think it's actually right after they made the beta mandatory because it was unstable as all hell.
Yep.
The client would pick the wrong card in a draft a lot. And it would crash.
I remember
in the draft
this. Yeah. Yeah.
A lot.
Yep. Yep.
And Wizards had to get very generous with the refund policy.
Mm-hmm.
So generous so much that they would refund you the entry to the draft and you could keep whatever you drafted or won.
Yeah.
Right now it's so infinite.
What did you do?
Every single draft I entered, it would crash.
Yeah.
I would file for a refund. I'd get the refund and then I'd go 2-1 with the deck that I managed to draft through the crash.
I think that's fine.
Yeah. But it was I was Robin Hooding it. Like I made like hundreds of tickets. Just jamming a Johnny's, rare drafting.
Okay, all right. That's a little different because you weren't just like, oh, I'll do my best to draft a good deck and when it crashes. Like if you're drafting,
Oh no, I was because there were drafts where I went 3-0 and got a refund for my entry.
Yeah. That's more of a line ball. Like
I don't think that was an asshole move, but I think that that same Wizards employee who processed all those refunds, who is now in the Arena team, saw me get to my winning end and was like, let's just unplug this port here.
Yeah.
It all comes back. I recognize that username.
I know. I'd recognize that username anyway. Yeah, exactly. Just let me just refresh that cache real quick. Oh, you got disconnected from your game, did you? Oh, no.
They did eventually say to me, they were like, you have filed too many of these refund requests. And I was like, my response is, I filed as many refund requests as times the client does not perform correctly. And they were like, okay, here's your entry back.
Oh, man. Wow. No, anyway, you shouldn't do this.
No, 100% not. This is actually just cheating.
Yeah, shouldn't do this, yeah. It's funny, I got accused of this one time when I was on stream, right? Because what was I doing? It wasn't a bug, but I was like as a gag, I was, you know, okay, I don't remember exactly what it was, right? But let's say I had one and a blue up and a negate in hand and they cast like a creature. And I was like, oh, let's see if I can negate it, right? And so I was like trying to put the negate on the stack, trying to target it, right? Mm-hmm. And then someone in the chat was like, wow, just cheating, huh? Just trying to cheat. It's like, I'm mainly doing this for entertainment because it's dumb because I'm going to die to this creature that they're playing. But like, what's the real life equivalent of that, right? They cast a creature, you go, negate, gotcha. Or like counter it, you know, try to Jedi mind trick them. Like it was clearly...
Well, that is a real cheat. People do cheat.
I understand. And I think that's what I'm saying is like, does that translate to me being like, oh, let me see.
No.
Like, it's just a gag, right? Like, that's something I do in a paper game as well. If I, like, let's say I'm on, I don't know, 5 and they're about to cast, like, a Thundermaw Hellkite and I've got no blockers, right? I'm dead. I'm just like, oh, negated. Oh, funny. You know, like, a dumb joke. I'm not
so
actually trying to shark
okay.
them.
You're cheating. I get it.
That's just...
No, you're right. That's not cheating at all. This is, unfortunately, I understand what Sharktail is saying here because it doesn't feel like cheating because it feels like you're cheating the client,
yeah,
and that like, oh, the other person knew what they were getting into by entering this draft. Nah, mate,
you can't do it.
Now I don't know what you're supposed to do, honestly.
You tap the extra land in this situation. It's an easy fix. In others, not so much.
I don't know if I'd have the moral fortitude to do that, really.
Well, as I said before, it's easy to be a good person when nothing's on the line. You know?
Yeah.
It's when you are 6-1 and you need to avoid a moral pitfall like this.
You know what they say, right? The road to hell is paved with frost pyrokinists.
I tell you what you do. You start streaming, because then your chat will call you out. If you ever start thinking about doing anything like this. Like, well, I've got hundreds of people watching me. I'm not going to be able to do this. But yeah, sorry, Shark Tales. It's not often that we confirm that someone is in fact the magical asshole when they write.
Well, we don't like to call our listeners assholes. It's bad business.
It is bad business. So sorry, Shark Tales. Sorry, mate. Anyway, we've got another one here, Dennis. We've got another one that comes in from Choingler. You want to read it for us?
Choingler, what a name.
Good fun to say, isn't it?
It's like an alien version of Friends. This is Chandler.
Choingler and Rochel.
Am I the asshole? Am I the magical asshole, says Choingler. While playing a Kaldheim draft, I have a Valkmira Protector's Shield in play.
So this is the one that reduces the damage done by one. So like if you've got a Valkmira, everything that you have, including your creatures, your permanents, yourself, whatever, all the damage that's done to them reduced by one.
Yeah. I attack with my 6/6 Death Touch creature into my opponent's board of two para creatures. My opponent begins to multi-block my 6/6, and I begin to spam the oops emote before they lock in their blocks with the hint of warning them that they are about to lose their board. They locked in blocks and then resigned in the aftermath. I am concerned that my emote spam might have been considered BM, and thus the question, am I the magical asshole? Wait, that shouldn't have happened. I guess you can just do two to everything, can he?
What? No.
He has the Valkmira.
Choingler has the Valkmira.
And a 6/6
and
death
a 6/6
toucher.
Death touch.
So the opponent is just doesn't understand that you could, if you multiply with death touch, you'll just kill everything. And each of those creatures will individually do one less, therefore four less.
I'm imagining there are three 2/2s, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you triple block the 6/6 without the Valkmira, there'd be a trade.
But now it's just the three damage together.
There are three damage total is done to the 6/6, right?
I think your intent here, Choingler, is fine. It's like in a vacuum, spamming oops is just spamming anything is BM. Honestly,
I don't think there's a world you get out of this one looking okay. It just looks like you're being like it.
There, yeah. Your intentions were good, so I think you're pure in the eyes of the Lord, but there's no way your opponent thinks
that. The question was, Dennis, am I the magical asshole? No.
No.
If the question was, did I look like a magical asshole? Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
The thing is here...
Very important distinction.
The thing is here, it's good that you wanted to warn your opponent that they're about to make a mistake. The client is not built for you to do that. Also, you don't really have a responsibility to. They stuffed up, and it's on them, right? I guess it would depend on the stakes, but if I'm playing at a GP and my opponent did that, I'm not saying anything. Like, they need to, if I'm playing like casually, I'm playing a game of Commander or something, maybe I'd say something, but like if I'm playing...
It's awkward in paper though. Like Arena kind of removes this responsibility because it's in paper, it's awkward if you don't say anything. I mean, again, if it's at like a competitive level, you don't 100%.
No, of course
whatever.
Not.
But if they triple block and they go to put your guy, they're like, and your guy does too, and you're like... Nah, mate.
No.
That's awkward. But in this case, their shatter pause and their like embarrassment is all between them and the client, not between them and you. You know what I mean?
I don't think you have tapped four mana. Is it four mana? I think it's four mana. Four mana for this shield and put it on the battlefield. It is there on the table. They can see it. They can read this card. If they forget about it and make bad blocks, it's on them. You don't have a responsibility to tell them, even in paper. If you're playing competitively. If you're playing casually, sure, you let them know, like, hey, that's probably not going to work, because remember the shield. They go, oh, yeah, of course, don't do it.
Yeah, you do not have a responsibility to stop your opponent making mistakes, Choingler. You went above and beyond. It sucks because you went above and beyond in terms of altruism, but your opponent still thinks you're just an asshole.
You went below.
you went above and below.
You went below and beyond. I think that they probably took that as like, wow, this person's really rubbing it in. But it's tough, man. It's tough. It's a situation where you really weren't ever escaping from this one.
Riley, I'm going to insert some Gank Me From River here because it is poignant to this topic.
Poignant?
Poignant.
Wow. All right, a poignant bit of Gank Me From
Not
River.
Not even
bit
relevant.
A bit poignant. Of league chat, if anyone has, I don't know,
so
got anything else they want to do at this time, you want to just pop down the podcast for a couple of minutes and, you know, if you get to doze off for a little bit, go on.
There are pings you can issue in League that just paint everyone on your team. Like, be careful, which is like an exclamation mark and goes ding on the map and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But there's a enemy missing one.
I've seen this
one.
It's very confusing. I don't know what it means.
I'm in the bot lane and the enemy laner isn't here anymore. They could be in mid. They could be, you know, they're just, I don't know where they are right now.
Okay.
And that ping is a question mark.
Yep.
which was a mistake for the League of Legends coders to include. Because every time someone on your team does something questionable or stupid or makes a mistake, you just rain question marks down upon them. Like, what are you doing?
Right, yes, okay, that makes sense.
So this happened to me, and there was pure justice. A friend of mine who you've met, I think you've met Cunnell, we were playing League of Legends, and I was starting my camp or whatever down the bot lane, and he was just trolling, and he was just pinging question marks on me the whole time. Yes. And he accidentally hit the wrong key and teleported to the wrong side of the map, which is a very useful summoner spell that has like a 6-minute cooldown.
Very good.
And he missed two waves of minions because he had to walk all the way back up to top lane. And that was instant justice. Instant justice.
That's very good. He's trying to BM you. And imagine if you do that. You're trying to BM someone and you accidentally click attack all into their wall of blockers.
Yeah, or the game, or you just discard a card.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. Oh, man, that'd be so good. Oh, jeez. That was a surprisingly good bit of gank me from River there. Mm. Yeah, I didn't mind that. That was good. Is Cunnell's the guy who sounds like he has a handkerchief over his microphone all the time?
He might. I don't think so. He might.
See, I don't know a lot of these people in real life. I've met some of them in real life, but most of the, whenever I hang out with your mates on Discord when we're playing Valheim or whatever.
Well, they all have different names on Discord
and,
as well.
Yeah, but it's mainly like their voice. Like, is it Carl? Who's Bowl?
Bowl is Carl.
Carl.
Yeah.
Carl has this.
Carl's very soft spoken.
Silky smooth baritone. I could listen to Carl talk all day long, right? But Cunnell often sounds like he's got a piece of paper or cardboard between his mouth and
through
his microphone.
A sock, yeah.
Or a sock, exactly. Yeah. It always sounds a little bit muffled. So that's how I remember who people are.
That's funny, yeah.
Anyway.
We got another question here, Riley. I don't know who it's from.
No, I don't know. If only they'd greeted us and told us their name, it would have been a lot easier.
It's a joke for just me and you, so to explain, this question comes from someone whose username is Hello, my name is Susan.
Hello to you too, Susan.
Hello to you too, Susan. Hello, my Susan writes in and says, I have a friend who gives me MTG finance advice on when to sell the valuable rares mythics from drafts and sealed events. They don't have much value to me unless I wanted them for a commander or anything like that, and it began with War of the Spark when I drafted a Teferi Time Raveler and could have sold it for $20. That ended up higher than that, didn't it? I guess the War of the Spark didn't really.
Continue to read the question and it all become clear.
My friend said to wait since the value will go up over time. They weren't wrong. It did go up, but now it's only worth $10. This is the GameStop, Riley. Hold all the way to the moon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then
go long on TEF.
Yeah, TEF. Then when Throne of Eldraine, when I drafted an Oko, that one just fits in three letters, yep, no problem. Yep. It was worth about $50, and my friend told me the same thing. And again, they were not wrong. It did spike higher, but I stupidly listened to their advice and held, and now it's only worth $20. This happened again with Uro, another three-letter one, Luminous Brewmoth, and Omnath. I feel like I've always lost out on a lot of money by listening to this person and going against my gut, which is always tells me to sell it right away. I have a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush mentality. Is my friend sharking me? Well, they kept, I'm starting to think that they just want to see me lose in these financial decisions. What should I do with my Valky/Tybalt now? They're not sharking you because they're not benefiting from it, aside from like some Schadenfreude, I guess.
Yeah,
right?
I guess they're enjoying watching your hopes go up and up and up and then burst. And there's a distinct correlation with the price of the card and your enjoyment level of this situation. It sounds like your friend always just gives you the same bit of advice: never sell your magic cards.
Hold.
Yeah, just hold, hold, hold. What should you do with the Valky/Tybalt? This is a piece of advice I've given on the podcast before, and I'll do it again. There are only two correct times to sell magic cards. There are only two times at which it is actually correct to sell the cards that you have. Mm-hmm. One is either right now, exactly right now. The other is like 10 years ago, mm-hmm, right? Because you talk to people who like complain about the fact that they sold their Forces of Will at exactly the wrong moment, like when it was 30 rather than 100 or before, after the reprint or whatever else like that, right? You can't know, unless you're whatever that guy's name was from Wall Street Bets, right? You can't know the future.
Mm-hmm.
That guy has a very apparently limited superpower to look, you know, a couple of months in the future and see what stocks are going to get shorted.
Riley, we can do that here.
Go on.
If everybody who listens to this podcast goes out and buys a Valky, it will drive the price of Susan's up.
Are we going to short?
We can short Valky.
Are we going to short Valky?
But you can. That's how the economy works.
I mean, and the MTG finance, it's even less regulated than the real world, man.
God, no. This is just straight up a buyout.
It's just like we could. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it, Dennis.
I don't think it's supposed to do it quite this publicly.
No, I think it's supposed to be a secret thing. Anyway, the smile buyout of Valky continues. The reviled MTG personalities, Dennis and
it's
Riley.
It's already started. Channel 5 Royal's out of stock on Valky's, Riley. It's already begun.
Well, where people else can we buy them? There's nowhere else to buy them. So there's nowhere
else you could possibly buy them.
No. The only way to do it is to buy boxes of Kaldheim from channel5.com and open them, hoping to get a Valky. That's the only way to put to get that card now. It sounds like your friend
is an idiot.
No. It sounds like your friend is a broken clock, and they are right twice a day. They say, hold, that card will go up, right?
That's only right with an analog clock. A broken digital clock is just a paperweight.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Okay. It sounds like...
Or a broken digital clock thinks it's always 88 minutes past 88. if you kind of tilt
it,
you know?
Yeah, very good. that was very good, Dennis. I have to give you that one. I enjoyed that one a lot. That really tickled me. That one was good. Thank you for that. That's made my life... You've improved my quality of life with that joke. I appreciate it. No, it sounds like your friend is just giving the same advice. And like, here's...
That's what but I think an idiot would do that. But that's what I mean when I said they're an idiot.
Here's my suspicion. This is a classic example of survivorship bias, because your friend has probably given you the same example for cards that didn't spike and then tank. Mm. Your friend has probably said like, I don't know, what? The Cauldron of Eternity? Don't sell that.
Hold on to that.
That's going up and up.
Great Henge? Whew.
Yeah, hold on to that one, you know. At the end of the day as well, like, you've got to recognize that like these cards are going to lose value in the long term. Just like Teferi Time Raveler rotated out of standard. It's going to take a hit then and there, right? So you either need to sell it before that or wait long enough if you're confident that it's going to be a player in Eternal formats. But like the risk with these cards, especially, you know, in this era of hyper-powered releases from Magic that we've seen more bans in the last 12 months. We've seen who knows how long. This is inherently risky. Like, what should you do with your Valky and Tibbers? If you're worried about losing money on it, sell it. And if it goes up another $10, $20, don't worry about it. You cashed out.
It looks pretty stable looking at the pricing data for the last like 2 weeks. It's gone from like 30 to 25. Mm. Bounce it.
Get rid of them. Like, if you don't want it and you're worried about losing money on it, get rid of them, man. Get rid of them. Especially for the sort of person who is the bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Get that bird in the hand.
Get that bird in the hand.
Get that bird out of your hand. Go to UBox We Buy and sell the bird to channelfireball.com. Can I tell you, channelfireball.com will buy a bird from your hand. Dennis, do you know where they won't buy birds from?
A bush.
The bush. They don't. If you try to sell channelfireball.com a bird that's in a bush, or even two birds that are in a bush, right? They're going to tell you to pack up and
hands only.
They're going to say hands only, mate. Hand stuff only. No bush stuff.
Hands on.
No bush
hand stuff.
Stuff
only. It doesn't count. Hands up only.
This is the thing, you know?
We got a response here, Roddy, from one of the other jackals in the chat.
This is an interesting response here. I wanted to share a response. So, I do read through the Discord. If you want to join the discussion, by the way, bit.ly/join on this Discord. Vin the Human, very suspicious. Didn't assume that you weren't a human until you said you were.
Yeah, now I'm concerned. Now there could be a digital clock.
Now I'm worried. Had an interesting response that I want to highlight here. If you'd sold that Oko to pay for the draft, you could have done another draft. We could have drafted anything, even another Oko. This is the mentality that people get into. Vin the Human follows it up. The trick to making money with gambling. Now, this is immediately red flags.
Hell of a sentence.
The trick to making money with gambling. This is what I wanted. Because any sentence that starts with that is like, wow, this is a wild ride. But this is actually good advice. The trick to making money with gambling is you only gamble your winnings and never put more into it than you intended in the first place. First draft for $15, you get an Oko you could have sold for 30. Great. Sell it, put 15 back in where that came from, and use the 15 for another draft. Didn't get anything worth 15 in that draft? That's fine as well. But don't go into the next draft thinking you are owed anything since the last one didn't pay out.
This is a little bit like a martingale strategy. Mm-hmm. You heard about martingale betting strategy already? So in a game that has anything remotely close to a coin toss, a good example is roulette, where red or black is rounds to 50-50. Yep. What you do is you bet a dollar.
Ah, yes, I know
and
this one.
And let's say you lose. Yep. And you bet $2. Yep. And let's say you lose. And you bet $4. And when you eventually win, you win back all your losses. Mm-hmm. And you do that. And you go back to $1. And if you win, you bank the dollar you won, and you bet $1 again. Yes. And it is a I mean, it's still negative value because there's a house edge in the form of a green on a roulette, for example.
Yep.
But technically, it's kind of, it works okay on like a infinite wealth and infinite time.
Yeah, but do you know why it doesn't?
Scale.
Why? Because you can get to a point, there is no limit to the amount that you can lose. Sorry. There is a limit. There's a limit to how, like, how much money you can keep buying in with, but there's no limit to you just losing and going and losing. Yes. Like, you can lose everything. You can't win everything.
Yes, correct.
You can get to a point where it's like, oh, I don't have $2,048 to put down to cover my losses now. Right?
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, if you, like, once you bust, that's it. You're just out and you can't continue the system anymore.
Yeah, there is a floor, but there is no ceiling.
Exactly. Yeah, so that's why it doesn't really work. But I just like this. I like this mentality shift, right? Magic is a luxury. I think that anyone who goes into Magic being like, I'm going to make money off of this, unless you are like a shop, unless you are running it like a business, right? You shouldn't be worried about losing $30 on a card here or there, because at the end of the day, it's a hobby and it's an expensive hobby. So I think the mentality shift that Vin the Human is suggesting here is really important, right? Don't go into a draft thinking you are owed anything because the last one didn't pay out.
You are paying for fun the way you pay for a movie ticket.
You go and buy a movie, you go and buy a ticket to see a film. You don't come out of there being like, right, now how can I get more value out of this? You know, you just enjoyed the experience. Well, if you're one of those people who enjoys going to the cinema, I don't see the appeal personally, but
I took you to a very nice cinema.
Do you know that the last time I went to the cinema?
Was it then?
It was then with you.
That was to see Rise of Skywalker when it came out.
And do you want to know the film that I saw before that in the cinema?
What was
the
that?
The Last Jedi. And
Star Wars is a good cinema movie.
And the film that I saw before that in the cinema?
Was it The Force Awakens?
The Force Awakens, yes. And before that, I think I saw The Wolf of Wall Street with that girl who brought a pizza in. And that was the same one, by the way, who stole my grey jumper.
Wow. Oh, yeah. She probably got pizza all over it.
She probably did, didn't she? Oh, don't talk to me about the grey jumper. I miss it so much.
It misses you, man. It thinks you're coming home. It's like a dog.
Yeah, it's like, maybe one day he'll come back for me. Unbelievable. God. Anyway, one final question, Dennis. This is one that you wanted to include. It's a very good one. It comes into us from Cyriday. Oh, in summation, sorry. Hello, my name is Susan. Sell.
Sell,
and don't feel bad about it if the card goes ticks up a couple of bucks, because it doesn't matter.
Cyriday writes in writing and says, how much of someone's win rate do you think is attributed to luck versus skill versus deck choice? I had almost 70% win rate, wow, in December with Martin Use's Rogues list going from gold all the way to mythic.
How would they get their hands on such protected technology, Dennis? Getting the Martin Use's Rogues list?
Riley, I've organized a backdoor. Okay. If you go to channelfireball.com/pro and give me $5 personally, you can get in and I'll email you everyone's list.
Very good.
Was I just running hot? Was I getting carried by Use's deck? I'm actually good at Magic. Thanks. It's tricky. So some of these metrics are weird. Yeah. Like, people always say, well, even the best players in the world only have like a 58% win rate, you know? And I'm like, yes, but that's a 58% win rate on the Pro Tour.
Yeah.
That is a 50% win rate against the other best players in the world. Yeah. I would imagine their win rate in Silver Arena queues would be much higher.
Oh, yeah.
They will never, you know, triple block with 2/2s thinking that it'll kill the 6/6 death touch, even though they have the damage mentioned in play. Yep. Well, not never. We have some very, you know, strong clips on top 5 that suggest it's not never.
Never.
But it's close.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. 70% win rate, it's huge, obviously. I think it's a mix. Probably a decent amount of luck. Probably deck choice. Deck choice and deck position is a big deal. Yep. And if your deck is well positioned in the meta, that's huge. And skill, once, like, this is why I think Illimit is so much more skill intensive, to be honest, than Constructed. Because once you get a good deck list and you read a little guide on how to play it from, like, some of the best players in the world, like Martin Use, at that point, all you got to do is not really make mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah. Or make as few as possible. Yeah.
And you will get carried a good percentage of the way.
Yep. Yep.
But that's the benefit of CFP Pro. We had an ad campaign a while ago that was let Martin do the thinking for you. Like, let Reed, don't bother testing like crappy decks, figuring it out. Let Reed Duke do it for you.
I mean, you know, this is going to just sound like a huge shilling or whatever, but I've been using CFP Pro for my stream recently. I just went and got Mengu's Saltai list, and I followed his sideboard guide, and I played one on one stream. I went 10-2, right?
And you're Riley Knight,
and I'm
of
bad.
All
like, you know, so this does come into it. Now, luck, skill, deck choice, construction, they all come into it in different factors, and they all come into different amounts, and that amount changes. And here's the problem, Dennis. Because we're all magic nerds and we love to quantify the unquantifiable, right? Because we prefer quantitative data rather than qualitative data, people will sit and argue the back teeth off of each other about what percentage is luck, what percentage is skill, what percentage is death. Did I told you the story of what happened one time at the World Magic Cup?
No.
I was doing coverage of the WMC and we went out for dinner. It was me, Frank Carsten, and some other... Corbin was there and just some other people, right, from the coverage team. Now, we needed to get a train because we were meeting some people and we were meeting them at a restaurant and the reservation was at, you know, X o'clock, 7 o'clock, let's say. But on the way to the train station, Corbin wanted to stop at a convenience store to get something. I can't remember. Maybe, let's say, Rashad. Rashad went in with him and decided he wanted something else like that. That then led to something else happening that meant that we were late for the train, right? Mm. And while we were standing there having having this argument about whose fault it was, right, that we were late, that we'd missed this train, Frank, won't surprise you to learn, sat there and tried to crunch the numbers and apportion blame as percentages, right?
So Corbin wasted 2 minutes, Rashad wasted another minute, Riley wasted a minute and a half.
But then there were, no. But what was even better about it was Rashad wouldn't have been... So Corbin held us up a little bit by going to the shop, but then Rashad held us up further by staying in the shop longer. But the only reason that Rashad went into the shop in the first place is because of Corbin, right?
So that blame rests on Corbin.
So that blame is at least partially a percentage of Rashad's blame, right, is then put onto Corbin instead because it wouldn't have been there. And then there were other things as well, like there were communication errors about when we're meeting in the lobby and all that sort of stuff. And so Frank actually went down. It's not possible to do this, to put percentages on it. They're like that. But this is what Magic players love to do. So whenever questions like this are asked by Cyrodiil, whenever, you know, how much of it is, what win rate is attributable to luck, skill, whatever, people sit there and be like, well, it's 23% luck, it's 4.5% skill, that sort of stuff, because we love to have these sorts of debates and arguments. The crux of the matter is, as you said, Dennis, it's attributable to all of them in different parts and in differing amounts over time.
Yep.
It changes. But the long and the short of it is, Channel 5 or Pro, get those lists.
Do you have Frank Carson's number? Or do you think he's the one?
What do you want me to anchor? You want to ask Frank? The thing is, it'll take a while. And
yeah,
we're nearly at the end of the podcast.
Yeah, some rough. Yeah, we're running out of time. We might not even have time for Viking chat.
We got to do Viking. Let's do Viking chat. Thanks for writing in, Cyrodiil. Sorry we didn't really have an answer. Are you actually good at magic? Yes, you are. Yes, you're really good at magic. Don't worry about it. Don't listen to anyone who tells you differently. You're the best
you
at magic.
You can tell that, but just because you listen to this podcast, which means you're great.
Obviously,
at everything.
Yeah, you got, well, I tell you what, even if you're not good at magic, you're great at picking podcasts. Let me tell you that one.
Nice.
Dennis, we've been playing Valheim. It's time at Charizard Mere River.
Viking Chore Simulator.
Viking Chore Simulator. Viking Minecraft. You and I can't decide if we like the game or not.
No, and I think we're playing it wrong. My favorite thing to do in the game is going logging. Just making sure our little village, where we have a server with like 10 people on it, has enough wood. And by that I mean 4 full chests of wood.
We are playing what is basically a socialist utopia.
Yeah.
It is unbelievable. So we've got a big long house. So the reason we got a big long house that serves as a saw house. When I joined the village, I built this enormous house for myself. And I was like, I hate this. I don't want this. And then went and built a smaller house for myself down the other end of the village.
We appropriated it.
And everyone else was like, I guess this is now the communal storehouse. And so they moved everything there. It's very cool. But
it is very, you seem surprised by how socialist it is.
Well, I've played games like this with other people and it's always like, here's my stuff, here's your stuff, right? And there are communal areas, but like everyone has chests in their own house with their own stuff, right? There's no personal property in this server.
Not really, no.
Not really. And it's not by like design. It's just that I would now feel weird putting a chest in my house.
Yeah.
I would feel weird doing that because...
There was a bunch of iron in the chest and I went to go make myself a cool iron sword. And I was like, oh, this is like a third of all the iron we have. What if someone else needs it? I just won't bother.
Yeah. It's nice. It sort of shows that these systems do work on a small level when everyone knows each other.
What I spent my time playing 2 days ago was I built a path to everyone's house with lights. Yeah.
I didn't like that the tree line had been pushed so back far back from the village, so I took the cultivator and a bunch of birch seeds and reforested the area outside of it. And then Then we've got like an area where there is for harvesting trees, where we plant them as close as possible to each other. But then I was planting them out to look nice, to get a little forest area outside of our village.
And then, but then the other guys are like, "Are we going to do the second boss like raid at like 7 o'clock?" And I'm like,
"Yeah, I don't really,
not really interested in that." So I can't complain when I'm like, "This game where I just like maintain the supplies of the storehouse is kind of boring." I'm like, "Well, yeah, Dennis, you did that to yourself."
Yeah, you and I haven't really. I fought one of the bosses.
I haven't even.
Oh, did you know? See, I fought the first boss, but I just haven't fought anyone. It is just like Viking house building simulator and resource gathering simulator. I think I'm pretty good at building houses, though.
You are. Your houses look nice.
I think I'm pretty good at building houses. I sort of thought, like, when I first joined your village, because it was already established, I was a little bit late to the party, and there was like a Baba Yaga house that was built on stilts, and there was, your one was pretty cool because you built it like into the side of a mountain, so there's all these underground levels, which I thought was really cool. But I was suppressing a little smile as I was walking around the village because I'm like, they're not going to believe this. I'm going to build a longhouse for that. I'm going to build a house here, and they're not going to believe what it looks like. It's going to be so sick. But apart from that, like, I don't have any, like, whenever gray dwarves or anything attack me, I'm like, go away, leave me alone.
I'm logging.
I'm live. I'm trying to plant trees. Get out of here. I'm not interested in fighting you.
You'll notice that Ryan and I have opposite goals here. Ryan wants to plant trees. All I want to do is get wood.
But that's fine. That's why we get that little plantation for you, where the trees are as close together as possible,
as thick as they come.
So with one swing of a hammer or an axe, you can hit three of them in a single go. The tree physics are wild, by the way. Like, you'll chop down a tree, it'll fall into another tree, either knock that tree down, saving you have to cut it, or it will be launched up into the branches.
Into the sky.
And then you have to chop down the tree in which it's stuck in order to get that log down. It's fun.
I think
it's fun. Like, when I finish playing, I'm like, I'm looking forward to playing that again. But
yeah.
But tell people what you were saying about it, because there was a comment you made as we were chatting about this earlier that would be really interesting. The one about how, you know, you're getting to a certain point when...
Yeah, I'm getting to the point where I feel like I'm never going to play the game again.
It's interesting because, you know, we've been talking about, oh, your parents put you down for the last time and they didn't know it. I think you...
This time I think I know.
I think you're going to play Valheim one time and just be like, yep, well, I'm probably not going to play this again.
Like, Nikki's going to see her family this weekend. Yep. Because her sister just had a baby.
Congratulations, Nikki's sister.
And she's allowed to go do that. And Jeff and the guys were like, oh, do you guys want to hang out and play video games, Spartan? And I was like, yes, I would like to play League of Legends.
Yep.
Not Valheim.
Yep.
And everyone else was like, yep, cool, 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 cool. Yep. And I was like, oh, maybe the Viking grip is loosening. But that being said, after we sign off here in a minute, I might go do some logging. You know, who knows?
You got the logging itch.
Well, the other thing is, like, I was a logging man. Like, somebody was like, we need copper, and I was like, I'm a woodman. I can't.
Yeah, I'm a lumberjack, yeah.
But now logging is, the wood's becoming less valuable now that we have ore, like, steel.
Oh, you're being made redundant.
I'm a horse salesman, and they've introduced these Model Ts, and I don't know what to do.
There's that part of it I find very compelling. So whenever I play City, I like city building sims, right, a lot, because I like to plan them out with nice straight roads and industrial zones and everything set out just as it should be, right? And this one did feel like a medieval village that had just been thrown together because...
There's a house here. I can't put a path here because fucking Jeff lives there.
Like, there's no straight lines. There's no roads. It's just like, oh, this bit will be easy to flatten out. I'll build my house here. I don't like this house. I'm going to build it another spot there. Oh, we need to put a wall around it to protect ourselves from attacks. The wall just goes around our houses. And now if you want to build one, you have to move the wall or whatever. And I like that. And I did like the sense of people fell into jobs that they liked. Like, you do the logging. I build stuff, right? And I don't know, it's fun to play it with a bunch of other people who are sort of into it on the same level. But having said that, it's not the sort of... I'm never like, can't wait to play more. You know, I'm just like...
I've got my 15 hours or whatever out of it, and I think I might be done. Like, we're talking about what we're going to play tomorrow, and I think, you know, I'll probably just play Apex Legends.
Love Apex, man. Love Apex. Still into it. But Valheim, I don't know. If you like...
I'd recommend it. It's very popular right now. They sold like their 4th million copy, which is wild.
It's a good game.
It's just Minecraft.
I just don't understand how it's blown up in the way that it has. But it is just Viking Minecraft. It's fun. Can I tell you one thing as well? Sorry, I know you want to wrap things up, but there's one thing I don't understand. The art style.
Yeah, the kind of bloomy Fortnite-y. It's weird.
Well, not that, just the really low poly textures of it all. Like, it...
Yeah, it is odd. It looks like a game from 2002.
It looks like a game from 2002 with a 2021 graphics engine. And it just doesn't make... It doesn't make any sense at all.
All the lighting and the specular reflections are all massive. Yeah. But
the ambient occlusion, Dennis? Oh, off the chain, right? But then it's just got like low poly textures that you'd expect from a PlayStation 1 game. And I don't get it. I don't. I know it's a deliberate choice. It's not an artistic choice.
It's not a choice you would have made.
No,
yeah,
I don't like it. I think they should. They're trying to do two things in the one game, and it doesn't work. So I don't know. Anyway, that's Valheim. Give it a go. It's not bad.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Scry River, Scry Babies, folks, Scry Hearts. Thanks again to Junkie Grud. I took a break from Junkie Grud last week for a sexy
gave
intro.
Him the week off. Yep.
But he's back. He's back in there. He records it live every week under Riley's desk.
It's really I don't know why he just locked himself into this contract, which I think is very foolish. Like, he could have just sent us a recording.
I mean, you offered to take a recording, and he was like, no, it's what the contract says.
I thought he was
classic.
I thought he was French. I'm pretty sure he's French. It might be Belgian.
Well, like French Belgian, maybe. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't think he's like.
I just did that vaguely.
I don't think he's like Eastern European. No. Yeah. But thank you, Joachim, and sorry for a huge amount of, we're not even paying him. Like, you can listen to his music for free. Like, he's just doing it all gratis. But thanks for doing it anyway.
All right. Submit your questions on bit.ly/it's Riley's Discord.
Join
Riley's Discord. And submit your secret Dennis Raw reacts
yes.
to Riley via Twitter DM.
Yeah, I'd love that.
And stay fresh, cheese bags.